You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. BuiltForTheStage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation. None other than Elliot Maddox on the show today.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show, Elliot.
Thank you.
I'm a little nervous because I'm interviewing an interviewer.
Yes, yes.
So I better be on top of my game. if you guys don't know, Elliot and his podcasting partner, Caleb Dickey, is they're hosting Equity One, which is another one of our podcasts on Broadway Podcast Network.
Yes, here we are. We're family.
Give us a little plug about maybe what Equity One's all about or...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So Equity One is, as we call it, it's Broadway's happy hour. We like to sit with guests in all aspects of the theater world, designers, actors, anyone who's involved with theater. We like to sit with them with a couple cocktails, make it nice and relaxed, you know, and it's no like stuffy interview. We like to just sit back and talk like we're catching up, having a drink between shows. So we started it to do something creative together. Caleb and I are best friends. We've been roommates since college, which is years ago now. And so we have such a blast doing it and getting to do it here sometimes.
I love the name.
Thank
Equity
you.
One.
Thank you.
For any listeners out there, where did that come from, Equity One?
So Equity One is kind of like secret kind of slang for the drink you can have between your matinee and your evening show. It's not an official rule. Okay, so Equity, don't come knocking on my door. Mm-hmm. But it is an unofficial thing that you can have one drink between shows. That's okay. Any more than that, you know, know your limits. I think some of us have definitely had an Equity too.
Uh-huh.
But
mine involves a production of Oklahoma on a very tall ladder and
uh-huh.
having to slide down the ladder onto a hay bale.
Yeah.
And my Equity 3-4
uh-huh.
whatever.
Yep. Yep.
It paid off on that show.
Uh-huh. You really learn your limits after a while, and sometimes you have to learn the hard way.
Yeah. Well, right now you have a sparkling water
yes,
on your
not drinking today before the show
on your Equity One before Beetlejuice.
Yes,
what a fun show!
We love Beetlejuice.
So I was interviewing not your podcast partner, but your partner,
yes, Michael.
Yeah, and Michael and I were talking on the podcast a couple months ago, maybe this summertime. And I was like, it would be so fun to see Beetlejuice on Halloween.
Yes.
So you know what I did? I saw Beetlejuice on Halloween.
You
and
did.
Guess who was there?
You
were there.
I was there. I'm there every night, especially Halloween.
It was spectacular.
It's so much fun. We have such a blast there.
The show was amazing, and the people showed up strong like I knew they would as far as the fans go.
Oh, man. Halloween especially, we really got a lot of costumes, a lot of cosplay, all that thing. But that happens every single night of the week. I mean, you are hard pressed to come to a performance and not see someone in a giant red wedding get dressed or dressed up as Beetlejuice. So it's really cool. They get into it. Yeah.
I'm thinking of ushers who have like maybe had to have awkward conversations of like, your costume's blocking the entire rest of the theater from seeing the show right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they have. I'm sure that they have some stories to tell. Yeah. Our ushers at the Winter Garden, but our fans are really amazing and super supportive and have like a community. So I don't think anyone's blocking anyone's view or misbehaving in any way.
Speaking of stories, tell us a story or two from the rehearsal process from the show, because not only are fun shows fun to do, but they're fun to create, or maybe actually more fun to create. How was that like mounting this show, putting the show on before actually opening?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty wild ride, especially for me. I was lucky enough to be involved with a bunch of the development of the show. So a year prior to there being a physical production, I was part of two labs, which for those who don't know, is just like people in a room putting together a version of the show in a rehearsal room. No set, no costumes, anything. Just working on the script, the songs, working on numbers, putting it on its feet, seeing it on its feet come to life for the first time. So it's been a really rewarding process getting to work with so many amazing, creative, and just funny people. That you see it when you see the show. The energy is so exciting and it's wild. It feels like a comedy show and a rock concert. And I think that is really a testament to everyone's creative vision and also spirit of collaboration on the show. Was really, really special. Very, very special for me to be a part of. It doesn't come without any challenges. You know, it's a lot of seeing if things work, things don't work, things go by the wayside, things get cut that you wish you were still doing and miss sometimes, but it's all for
any
the...
specifically that you can think of?
Oh, of course. Yeah, there's in our production in DC and in all the development, there was a boy band in the netherworld that was kind of like the welcome committee, and they kind of just like explained the rules of the netherworld, and I was part of the boy band, and that was like a seemed to be a big hit out of town. But for the good of the plot of the show, they went another direction with Miss Argentina, and it just kind of works better. You really hammer in the main themes of the show with her new number, What I Know Now. But so we were rehearsing and figuring out a completely brand new number when we were coming into town. So that was one of the bigger challenges with bringing it in. But these things are like living and breathing until they get to a Broadway stage. And even when they are on the Broadway stage, they never stop changing, even though it's the same show eight times a week.
Which boy band did yours channel? Was it like an NSYNC boy band, 98 Degrees?
Yes.
LFO?
Yes. It was all of them. Oh, so we were given like very specific kind of reference points. The big reference point was the Everybody video from Backstreet Boys, because it's kind of like that, like they're like creepy and they're like coming to life one night. So that was kind of like an easy reference, but a lot of Boys to Men. So I would say like Backstreet and Boys to Men were probably the two main references, but like physically, like we looked kind of like a K-pop group. It was really interesting, kind of like bizarre Beetlejuice choices all around. Mm. Yeah. And I played the 36-year-old, member of the boy band who stands in the back.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Is there perhaps an illegal bootleg of that available on YouTube somewhere?
I
want to see this.
I would never say that there is, but I will say I have come out at the stage door before, and I think it was maybe Halloween or one of the big nights, but the fans were like Breakfast Club style, holding like a speaker and playing the bootleg of the boy band from DC and like singing along together outside.
Wow, diehards.
Very much so. So it exists, but you know, I wouldn't know where to find it. I haven't seen it. So if anyone has it, send it my way.
I want to see it. Yeah, please. Shoot us a DM or comment on this podcast for sure. Speaking of diehard fans, Beetlejuice definitely has diehard fans. It kind of reminds me of prom a little bit with the online younger following.
Sure.
And how like prevalent that's becoming nowadays, where social media is not only booming in so many different ways, but influencing Broadway shows and their maybe overall success, even financially.
I mean, I think that's absolutely the case. It's something that was a little bit surprising to us, but, you know, we came in the same year as Be More Chill, which is a perfect example of how social media can bring a show to Broadway. I mean, our show kind of did a weird thing where we got momentum from social media and from the kind of like viral spreading, like viral just word of mouth that comes from social media and like just rant, like TikTok. I don't even know what that is, but people have it.
I just downloaded it today.
And so it's like the new social media thing that people have, but apparently the filters on TikTok lend themselves to people lip syncing Beetlejuice because you can be like a normal person and then like blink your eyes and you turn into this like monster face and then you blink again. So the, just the songs from our cast recording were like some of the top used tracks on TikTok, even if people had never heard of the show. So it's just these little things that have really like really kicked our fandom into like high gear, which is really exciting for a show where we were, you know, post before the Tonys thinking like, oh, okay, we might make it to the fall, now kind of really turning around like 180.
You should try TikTok. I just downloaded it because on a business end, I'm thinking to myself, okay, 5-year, 10-year goals, things like that. My demographic in 5 or 10 years, they won't, you know, it's evolved. Facebook for us is kind of gone. It's more Instagram. And then for maybe like the parents, it's Facebook.
Yeah.
Now the new generation coming up, maybe TikTok is going to be
the thing. I can't help but just think it's Vine. which came and went, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know the longevity of TikTok, but for now, this old man's staying off.
All right. So speaking of lasting into the fall or whatever you were just saying there was the bit of drama that has just occurred with hearing that you guys are going to be at least closing from the Winter Garden.
Yeah, we're being evicted. We're having to vacate the Winter Garden.
Tell us about that day if you're willing to, like when that all went down and like just like hearing the news.
Sure. So you know, the theater community is very, very small, as we all know. And so there are always rumblings about like, well, it says that Music Man is going to be coming into the Winter Garden. They're selling tickets for a theater. It really looks like ours. our producers were very upfront and honest with us throughout the whole process. They came to us before it was official and said that, there was a gossip column that was going to come out that day that was saying that Music Man was going to go into the Winter Garden, that was not untrue, that they were figuring out a way. They were still negotiating with the Schuberts, right? That's right. With the Schuberts to figure out what the future of the show was past our time at the Winter Garden. So they were still figuring out a time. And then they told us officially that that we had to vacate the theater, and they were very clear about that language. So we're not closing, that our show is doing well, and we wouldn't be closing if this wasn't, if this hadn't already been a business deal that was done.
Where are you now? Are they still shopping for a possible other theater or no?
I mean, I think that is still in the realm of possibility. We don't know. And it's a matter of, it's such a thing of like worlds kind of like lining up in the right way at the right time for something like that to happen. So, it takes a lot of money, and it's a lot of like, it's just a lot of cards that have to line up. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I know as much as you know, and that'll probably be the case.
So to line this up with, thanks for sharing that, up a little bit with fitness and whatnot, this is your second show.
Yes, second Broadway show.
Second Broadway show. Mm-hmm. You were in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I was.
Another fun show.
Yes, very fun.
And
yes.
That show came and it left, mm-hmm. and now Beetlejuice might come and go.
Uh-huh.
So how do you, as a performer, go through those ups and downs? Mm-hmm. In fitness, your fitness is never owned permanently.
Right.
It can come and go,
as
we all know. How do you bounce back, or how do you stay on track when that previous gig ends and you find yourself, you know, looking for the next one?
Mm-hmm.
How's that process for you?
Well, I think it's a struggle that anyone deals with, be it with a Broadway show or with whatever job you just ended as actors. Like, it doesn't have to be on that, like, Broadway scale. There's always this kind of dip that happens in between. And a lot of it is just trusting that you're doing the right thing and that the right thing is going to come along when it's supposed to. And
what do you do on a daily basis that's the right thing, that's proven to be good for you as far as your trajectory of a career?
The most important thing is to make sure I'm staying 100% authentic in what I want to do. And trusting that if I work hard enough, apply myself to those things and do things that, like, with not just auditioning, but do things creatively, like having the podcast, doing things like that outside of just searching for a job, that all are going to line up, that I'm doing the right things, so that the kind of jobs that I want to be doing, like Beetlejuice on Broadway, like that is going to come into play because I'm putting the energy there, not only toward auditions, but in other aspects of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about that a lot on the podcast, and I think it's important in a career of acting, but also in fitness, where you can't just center yourself around this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That inevitably, if you're so obsessive over this one thing, that you won't truly be at your best, but it's the other things around it that kind of equal things out, mm-hmm, and allow you to step away so that when you do step in, you're at your best. So besides the podcast, what are some things that, who is Elliot outside of theater?
Yeah, well, I really, like, lately we were kind of talking about this before we started recording, but I've become a bit of like an amateur baker.
Yeah. I've been loving this.
I'm really excited about, like, I started from just like YouTube videos, watching the Bon Appetit YouTube channel. They have like really amazing videos, and specifically they have this series called Gourmet Makes, where one of the chefs, Claire, makes a gourmet version of like a junk food. And it's like her trial and error, the whole process. It's fascinating to me. And so I've been like in my very, 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 very small kitchen, mm-hmm, trying to bake a little bit. So I was baking a cake today. So that was that's my creative thing that I was doing today.
Cool.
It's really, really fun. I'm enjoying that.
Yeah. The holidays are coming up.
Yes.
When we're doing this recording right now. What's the cake like? Make us a little bit hungry out there.
Oh my gosh.
What kind is it?
So it's a chai spiced cake.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have a coffee buttercream on that. And then there's going to be a caramel pretzel filling. And then I'm going to make like a white chocolate, like, you know, like the drips around the side. So I'm going to make a white chocolate top with like the drips. And then I'm going to make a chocolate wreath to go on top of it. I will definitely be posting pictures on my Instagram when it's done. Don't you worry.
You guys can check out his Instagram. It's Elliot Maddox with two L's and two T's.
Two L's and two T's.
Elliot Maddox. Simple as that. I'll have to shout out to Michael on the app and be like, hey, yo, you better tell me when that cake's ready. Okay? Let me know. Save me a piece, all right? Save me a piece for sure. Tell us a little bit about your Broadway debut in Charlie and how that kind of springboarded you into where you are now.
Sure. So I made my debut in Charlie, and it was actually a kind of a wild story. I broke my foot in my first callback for the show during the dance audition. So I, like, for when I came to sing after we danced, I like hobbled in, like hopping on one foot. I like dropped all my sides and papers, and like Rachel Hoffman was like on hands and knees, like picking up all my stuff and like helping me. And then my final callback was in a boot. Like, it was just it was a little bit wild. Part of me thinks that they hired me just to avoid a lawsuit, which I'm grateful for either way. But what's kind of crazy is like, you know the whole like trope of like, you know, you have to have food service experience to get a job in food service. Like, you can't get a food service job without experience in food service. So like there's this weird, like, you can't, like, this one thing helps you get more of that one thing, but you have to, it's really hard to happen upon that one thing. So I feel that kind of way with Charlie and my Broadway debut, in that I think it's I was so grateful and a complete dream come true. I'm a Broadway nerd from forever and is what I've dreamed about my whole life. So a complete dream come true, amazing experience. But it really does help people see you and trust your talents and abilities in a completely different way because they see that you have gotten that kind of, for lack of a better term, golden ticket to get to share your talents on that level. And then you kind of like get trusted to do it more. So if I hadn't of been working for the same producers, been cast by the same casting director as Beetlejuice, I think that that opportunity would have been a lot more difficult to come by and might not have come by during Charlie, because I was doing the show when I started development on Beetlejuice. So it's been like, but it's also, you know, it's a testament to always work good and work hard. And because you never know, like I've been employed by one employer pretty much for the last two Broadway shows of mine and 3 years of my life with development and stuff. So it's not just because of your ability. It's the way you show up and work. And
yeah, it's, some people would say, oh, wow, that's lucky, or wow, that's the universe on your side, or it's all in who you know, this side or the other. For me, I'm always thinking to myself, like, if I turn that towards me and things that have happened in my life, it's the willingness to be open and ready to step through the door of those opportunities and put the work in, like you're saying, because a lot of, most everyone, we all have these doors.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't walk through them because you're fearful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you aren't looking for them. Sometimes you feel you're unworthy to walk through them, or sometimes you're unwilling to put the work that it takes to go through that door. So, you know, props to you for being open and willing and working and finding these quote unquote people that you've been working for the past couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, to echo what you're saying, we're taught, I went to school and at Oklahoma City University, and one of the big like pillars that we're taught is that luck is preparation meeting opportunity. So you might call it luck, but one would say that if an opportunity comes your way, you are prepared to tackle it. And that is where like luck doesn't exist. It's not like a thing, but you have to be prepared to meet any opportunity at any time. And that takes a lot of work and a lot of like willingness to see the opportunity when it's in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about your hair.
Hair is green right now.
If you're watching on IGTV, there it is. If you're not, you can pop over to the IGTV interview on Bill for the Stage or at Bill for the Stage. It's been purple.
It's been purple. It's been blue.
Do you do this out of a show or only when you're in a show?
So it's about a year old now, my colored hair. And I did it because I knew that we had just finished our run of Beetlejuice in DC, and I had gotten the offer that I was going to come do it on Broadway. And I knew from doing it out of town that I was wigged the entire show, so I didn't have to have my hair any certain way. So I just decided to color my hair. It was something I'd never done, something I was like wanted to try. And so I just went with it, and it's really, really stuck. I mean, it feels very like me. It feels like it just is my hair color.
Have you been to any auditions while in the run of Beetlejuice with the hair color?
I have, yeah.
And the reason I brought up the hair in the first place is that not only can you be a unique type, but the hair would make you even more unique. And some of the listeners out there are maybe trying to be like, what are they called? The Stepford Wives, or the everyone's a robot, everyone's the same
cookie cutter. This kind of like
just the sense of like, oh, I have to look like everybody else.
Yeah.
How did that go for you in those auditions when your hair was colored like that?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a mentality that I've had and definitely have like that has been the reason why I haven't dyed my hair in the past, because I was like, I need to have my brown hair because I need to look normal and like whatever normal or like whatever they want to see is. Mm-hmm. And the more I've done it, there have been times when I feel like people have like looked at my hair in audition and been like, and then it didn't result in anything. Mm-hmm. And then there have been times where like my hair in an audition, like almost like gave me permission to like be really fearless, because it's, you know, it's so extreme and it's out extreme. It's not just like my personality is fun and crazy. It's like, oh, you're going to see something fun and crazy right in front of you. And it just is in really in line with the things that are supposed to come my way are going to come my way. Mm-hmm. And if it's because like I am having a fun moment with my colored hair and that made someone be drawn to me, then that's it. But it's, you know, it speaks to like the first day I walked into Beetlejuice rehearsal after having it colored, every single person on the team was like, I love your hair. I love your hair. The hair team was like, your hair is amazing. We love it. So it's, you know, it wasn't like a whispering and like, what are we going to do? Like, how do we? Mm. So I knew I was in the right place.
Yeah.
Because what I wanted in just my like life to like live as a person when I'm not doing 8 shows a week was in line with what I was doing 8 shows a week, which was really, really an exciting thing. And I am very grateful because I know that that's not always the case and won't always be the case for me. So I'm very lucky right now.
Yeah, this business is a business. Mm-hmm. And on my end, as someone in business, I love the strategy mm-hmm. because in theater, you can be a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. You can be, you know, write for 100 shows mm-hmm. alongside of hundreds of thousands of others. Or you can be right for only 10 shows alongside of 9 people.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, maybe those shows don't come around as often, but when they do, it's you versus 9 people instead of you versus 100,000.
Sure. And I think that in general has been the case for me. I think with my skill set, I'm a dancer to begin with. So my skill set with my kind of like body type, like shorter and kind of like I have like a more character, what we would call a charactery face. and I'm funny guy, like, and I have all these different skills that kind of like make me this like unicorn Rachel Hoffman calls them sometimes that I gladly take that on as being a unicorn. And I'm like, well, unicorns have fierce hair. So I'm going to go for that because it's only one extra thing for me. That's making me like stand out. And it's in line with who I am and my personality. And so I don't feel that I'm doing it strategically, but it does work with, it just works with where I am right now. And that the way that I've had the luck, the way that my career has gone out to have all that be in line. So I'm really happy that I'm able to do this right now. Come June 6th, I don't know, it might be brown again. We'll see. We'll see what comes my way.
We're happy that you, took the time to be on the podcast. Thanks so much for coming by to chat before Beetlejuice. If you haven't seen it already, head on over to the Winter Garden to see Elliot and the cast in Beetlejuice. You can also check him out on the gram, Elliot Maddox. 2 T's on the Elliot and the Maddox. And don't forget about Equity One, his podcast. You can go to bpn.fm and check out his podcast with Caleb. And you can go to Instagram at Equity One Podcast.
That's right. You got it all.
I got it. Speaking of shout out to this thing called Built for the Stage. Go to the website, builtforthestage.com. Make sure you try a free trial. It's free. There is no like gimmick or anything like that. Mention that you listen to the podcast and we'll hook you up with something special. You'll get 3 days of fitness programming along with our new program, Flow, that focuses around prepping the performer for bettering their flexibility and mobility. So until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off. Don't forget about Broadway Podcast Network. Go to the website, broadwaypodcastnetwork.com. Go to the Instagram, Broadway Podcast Network. There's tons of good content on our network, like Josh Swallow's Broadway, or Ensemblist, or Equity One, or The Theater Podcast. There's like 90 of them. Just go see which one you like the best after you listen to mine. And you guys have yourself a good day. It's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.